Romans 5, the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach this morning on the subject of peace, and that's the title of my message. Peace. Many definitions as far as usage in the Bible. I told our Sunday school class the word peace is found about 400 times in the King James Version, around 300 times in the Old Testament and 100 times in the New Testament. So it's a subject that the Bible deals with in many ways. Some of the meanings of peace: security, safety, harmony, prosperity, tranquility, and rest. I want to read in the fourth Psalm just one verse, so I'll just read it to you. I think you can trust me to read one verse in Psalm number 4, and in the 8th verse, the psalmist, after making several comments about himself, sums it up in the 8th verse in this way. Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I think peace, as we know about spiritual peace, the things that we want from the scriptures, found in many different passages in the scripture. When Jesus Christ's announcement of his birth was found back in Isaiah chapter number 9, and you remember this, he was given several names. And again, let me just read this to you. Isaiah 9 is an announcement of the coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the names that he gives the Messiah in Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Before he was born, one of the names given to Christ was the Prince of Peace. Peace with God, Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, and that's the only way you can have this peace, is being justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have harmony. We feel safe. As the psalmist said, I'll lay me down and rest. Because he was at peace with God. And until you've been saved, you don't have that peace. It's something that comes with trusting in Christ. The things that will bother you, you still have problems, but you'll have this peace. Jesus used this word often in the days of his ministry. I want to read just a few of those to get you started on what I want to impress upon you today. First of all, in Mark chapter 5, verse 24, many of the miracles that he performed, he closed in this way in chapter Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and verse 24. Mark 5, and verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. This woman had had a terrible problem for many years, tried everything, spent all of her money. She wasn't any better, she only grew worse. And Jesus healed her instantly. And as he leaves her, he says this, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Go in peace. Why did he say that? I can only imagine the turmoil that this woman must have gone through for some time. Because this wasn't something that happened one week and then it went away. It wasn't something, it was a prolonged thing that she had tried and tried and spent all of her money to be healed of this thing, and it wouldn't come to pass. And Jesus told her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now that's only one of many times. I can't read them all because this happened often. Luke 8, chapter 50 records exactly the same incident with the same woman. But then in Luke 7 and verse 50, we find another instance. Luke 7 and verse number 50. Let's start in verse 46 and read up to 50. Luke 7, verse 46. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. This woman was unclean. The Pharisees were scandalized with the fact that he let her touch him. But Jesus knew her heart. He knew why she had done the things that she did. And he commended her in verse 50, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Many other times we could read this, but for lack of time, I don't want to do that. Think with me of the time when Jesus came out of the grave on that first Lord's Day morning and went in with the disciples in John chapter 20, verse 19. What were the first words that he said to them? Peace be unto thee. And then in chapter 21, when again A week later, on the Lord's Day, he came in. What were the first words that he said to them? Peace be unto thee. Why would he say that? Do you know, or can you even begin to imagine the terrible condition that the apostles were in, especially Peter? When he denied the Lord, they wouldn't believe the women when they said Jesus was risen from the dead. They had seen him. Martha had seen, or Mary had seen him. They would not receive the witness of the two men on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus appears in their midst, and his first word is, peace be unto thee. I think they needed peace, don't you? The Lord has a way of always giving us what we need. They were in turmoil. They didn't know what had happened. They couldn't believe that he was risen from the dead. But when he appears to them, he told them in John 14 and verse number 27, peace I leave with you, my peace, I, not as the world leaveth, not as the world giveth, my peace I give unto you. And he demonstrated it when he rose from the dead. And in their confusion, in their unbelief, he approaches them and says, peace be unto thee. You know, peace is such a necessary word in the world we live in, is it not? Peace in our nation. What do we have in our nation? Riotous living, ungodliness, people taking anything they want, lawbreakers. We have families being broken up. One of the saddest things to me to even hear about is a broken home. When man and wife decide to go their separate ways. And especially when there's children involved, you know the hurt that's going to be there. But the Lord promised us peace. And in the midst of anything that might happen to us, we have this promise. My peace I leave with you. And beloved, as we get to the end of the message, we'll get into the depths of this, why it's so important. I'm going to think about the many times that Jesus spoke about peace. You know, in John 16, verse 33, he's talked about peace. And in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. Same verse. And isn't that the way it is? What was the Lord teaching us? No matter what happens, we can have peace. I thought of the thief as he was dying. And shortly before he repented and called on the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom, what was he doing? I mean, he was dying. He was dreading dying. He was near to death. It would be just a little while and they'd break his legs and he'd go out into eternity. But do we understand when Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, what happened to that man? Was he complaining anymore about come down from the cross? No, he was at peace. Didn't change his situation. He's still nailed to the cross. He's still dying slowly. Still suffering terribly. But I believe Jesus gave him peace. And that's what I want to deal with today. Beloved, we need this. We need peace. There's a song we sing sometimes. There's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the storms be raging. There's peace for the people of God. One of the things that we have when we trust the Lord is we have peace. Now, it's something, beloved, that doesn't eliminate our problems. But I'll tell you what it does. It enables us, like the thief on the cross, to receive the promise of Jesus Christ and go out in eternity expecting to see the Lord in paradise that same day. I know he did. Jesus spoke it. That means it happened. That peace is so important. in the world we're living in. Now, when you turn from the ministry of Christ and the things that he said concerning peace, and he said a lot of things, I'm just having to leave some of them out. Because when you look in the book of Acts, look with me in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. From the time of being confused and unsettled and not knowing what was going on when Jesus came to them and said, "Peace be unto you." We see in the book of Acts when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached that great message, what a change came in the lives of the apostles and in the people who were saved. 120 people there on that day, but 5,000 souls were added to them. You know what they had when the Lord added them to the church? You know, one of the principal things that came with that salvation? Oh, there were different people and different circumstances and different things going on in their life, but they had this one thing. They had peace. They had rest. Acts 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest till all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The word rest in the original Greek is eirene, which is the Greek word for peace that we find most of the time in the Bible. Eirene, peace be unto you. My peace I give to you. Same word. But here, the translators use the word rest. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Rest. Why were they resting? What happened? Well, if you know the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, you know that Paul was saved in that chapter. And the tormentor became the comforter. He began to preach Christ in the synagogues. And as a result of the fact that he was out of the persecution business, the churches had rest. Acts 10, verse 36. This is after Christ rose from the dead and the day of Pentecost and the church is beginning its work. But notice, and here is Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius, and he says, the word, Acts 10, verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace. Now, Israel was in turmoil when Christ came into the world. They were under the dominion of the Roman government, a fierce government, a wicked government in so many ways. You know the things that happened. You know about Herod and his wickedness, how he beheaded John the Baptist. You know about Pilate who had Christ crucified. In spite of the fact he said himself, I find no fault, I find no fault, I find no fault. But Peter says, the gospel is bringing peace. That should be true in our lives. I can remember being lost, can't you? Those of you who are saved, you can remember being lost. Being afraid to die. That's human, that's natural. But I tell you, when you trust the Lord and you have that confidence that he's promised you, absent from the body, present with the Lord, you can find peace in just about anything. I mean, it's there. It's there for us. We have this wonderful promise. It is a gospel of peace. Romans 10, verse 15. Paul calls it a gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, verse 15 calls it in preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel brings peace. The people that are fearing death, the people that are afraid of their sins and what they've done against God, they're afraid to die because they know what death's going to bring upon them. But the gospel is a gospel of peace. That we might have peace in this world, Christ died, gave us his word, his promise. It's a very important word in the New Testament. Now, as I begin to study this, and I can't tell you how long I've spent on this message, but Maybe you can understand when I begin to tell you some of these things. Paul wrote 9 letters to 7 churches. In every letter, in the introduction, let's just look at the first one, which will be Romans. You should be close to that. Notice how he introduces in verse number 7. He's already given his name, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But look in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You study carefully every letter that Paul wrote. He always has these two words in the introduction. Grace and peace. Now, why did he do that? He's writing to a church that this church he's never visited, but he knows a lot about it. And he encourages them in the very introduction, grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought it was important as he began this letter to establish them in this thought. What does God want for us? What does God want for this church? God is a God of peace, beloved. We read in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God is not the author of confusion. I've quoted it many times, but you know what the rest of the verse says? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's the author of peace. And I believe God wants his people to have peace. There's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace when the storms are raging. And God wants us to have peace. Paul's 9 letters to the 7 churches, and you can check me out on this. I read every one of them to make sure I knew what I was talking about. In every introduction, these two words will be found. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul stressed this. Should I not stress it as your pastor? What does God want for us? He wants grace for us. We need grace. I feel that more and more as I get older. I need more grace than I ever did before. You know, when you're young and enthusiastic and you think you know everything, you're full of yourself, you don't even think about needing grace. You think you got it all together. But as you get older, you realize how much you need the grace of God in everything, and you need peace as you try to do God's work. Need peace in your family. Need peace in the church. Nothing worse than a lack of peace in the church. Nothing better than when a church has peace. So every time, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, same thing. Galatians, Ephesians. Every one of them introduced this way. And you know, I found this out and it surprised me. In every closing of every letter, Paul repeats this near the end of the letter. Grace and peace. So it wasn't something he stated as necessary in the beginning, but after he had told them all that he needed to tell them, he repeated it. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need grace. We need peace. Paul, in the book of Romans, 10 times we read, of course, chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But 10 times in the book of Romans. Now, in the other letters, it usually was just at the beginning and at the end. But Romans is different. Romans is about the law. Romans is about justification. And the word peace is repeated some 10 times in his letter to the Roman saints. The 2nd Corinthian letter, chapter 13, verse 11, at the very end. Let's look at this. 2nd Corinthians, chapter 13, and verse number 11. I want you to understand this, but I'm not just up here wasting my time. I want you to understand what the Bible is doing and what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's God's will for these churches. We should live in peace. Because attached to that is the promise that God, the God of love and peace, will be with us as we live in peace. When you think about the many commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, I'll hold this to the end, but without this, we can't do the work of God. Ephesians, he introduces it the same way. In the second chapter of Ephesians, he does mention this, and he is our peace. That's broken down the middle wall partition, talking about the Jew and the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. He is our peace. Because he broke down the middle wall partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. Second Thessalonians, grace and peace. It's a short chapter, or a short letter, chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord of peace be with you. As he closes the letter. So do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to get this in your mind. All these letters, which more or less we're shut up to this as far as church truth, what Paul said concerning that. We know the Lord said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But beloved, other than that, the Gospels don't say a whole lot about the church. Mentioned only two times in the book of Matthew. God left that to the Apostle Paul. And as he wrote these letters to these churches, he begins with peace and he ends with peace. And everything in between is about peace. And yet we live in a time when there's a lot of turmoil. A lot of problems in churches, a lot of problems in the world. And I want you to notice the change as we, Paul wrote these nine letters, and we go to 1 Timothy and notice the difference here. Some of you may have already picked up on this, but if you haven't, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Verse 2, and Timothy, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the same two persons of the Godhead are mentioned, but there's something added here. Did you pick up what it was? Grace, mercy, and peace. He's writing to pastors who have the responsibility to teach pastors. He says the same thing in the beginning of the letter to 2 Timothy. He says the same thing in the letter to Titus. Verse 4, Titus 1. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace. From God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grace, mercy, and peace. God knows our needs. He knows the church needs grace and peace. Therefore, he impressed upon the Apostle Paul to begin every letter with that instruction. We need to be at peace with one another. When Paul wrote these epistles to the preachers who would be teaching preachers, he adds this. Now, when he wrote to Philemon, which is a personal letter, and also a pastor of a church, he only said grace and peace again. Now, I'm going to read two places in Hebrews because I think these are important. I've tried to keep these in order so you won't have to be going back and forth. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, here's an instruction after talking about whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and gives us the instruction about chastening, why he chastens us. He says in verse number 14, follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without peace, without holiness, we'll never see the Lord. That's the writer of Hebrews. He doesn't use in the introduction grace and peace, but he injects it here. And it's found also in the next chapter, chapter 13 and verse 20. Read this verse with me. Now the God of peace, Hebrews 13, verse 20, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. You notice this keeps coming up. Make you perfect. Make you perfect. Ron's devotion this morning was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. We're to go on in our service to God. We're to grow in our service to God. But Paul, Paul, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the way it is. The God of peace brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the God of peace. What does God want for us? Personally, what does God want for me? I'm not always going to have it. That's the purpose of God too. You know that Job wanted peace? He was living in peace. But what did he need? Not what did he want, not what was going on right there, but what did he need? He needed some turmoil, and he got it in double measure. But who is glorified in it? Read those last three chapters of the book of Job, and you'll see what Job's suffering was all about. He's a just man. He was an upright man. But God wanted him to learn some things, and he learned them real well. And in the end, what did Job have? He had peace in his family. His children were restored. Not, they weren't brought from the dead. But he had other children. He had grandchildren. He had great-grandchildren. He saw them. He held them on his knees. God wants us to have peace. But don't misunderstand and think, well, if I ever have any trouble, it's not from God. Again, go back to the book of Job. You'll find out it came directly from God. But what does God want us to do in the midst of trouble but have peace? That's why he taught the things that he taught. The great emphasis on peace throughout the scriptures, throughout the New Testament, has a purpose. It's called the gospel of peace two times. We said in Ephesians 2, he is our peace. Colossians 1, verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, he made peace so that we can have peace. It is a vital part of the New Testament. Security, harmony, tranquility, rest. God wants us to have these things. But you may say, well, how can we do? I've got so many troubles. I just can't have any peace. Well, your problem is, you forgot what God's purposes are all about. When we read, and the peace of God rule in our hearts, try turning the other cheek when the peace of God isn't ruling in your heart. You'll never do it. Try enduring persecution when you're mad, when you're unsettled, when you think you're not even saved. Because all these troubles, and the only time you can ever do what Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes, let's turn back there quickly and I'll bring the message to a close. Matthew chapter 5. I hope you're getting some of what I'm trying to impress upon you. Matthew chapter number 5 is, of course, the Beatitudes, and I just want to look at a few of these, and I want you to look at them through the prism of what Jesus wanted us to have. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you're upset, you got problems in your family, you got problems on your job, you got problems in your home, you got problems everywhere. Hard to be poor in spirit, isn't it? It is. It's hard to be poor in spirit. You read right down that list. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you get angry and upset because you got troubles, you lose that purity of heart because you're mad most of the time. You're upset at somebody or something. You're blaming somebody or something for every problem you've got. But I'll tell you, when God gives you peace and you just rest in His promises, I'll not put more on you and you're able to stand. I'll always make a way of escape. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. How are you going to do that? They're lying against me. How am I going to do this? Well, if you have the peace of God ruling in your heart, you'll be able to do it. But without it, you'll be a mess. I will too. Chapter 5, verse 48. Let's read verse 43 to begin. You have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies. How can I love my enemies? He's trying to steal my property. He's breaking up my windows in my car. He's aggravating me in every way a person can. How can I love him? Let the peace of God rule in your heart through Christ Jesus. He doesn't stop there. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. How in the world can anybody do these things unless there's just the peace of God there that says it's all for a purpose? God's doing this to me on purpose. He has a purpose. What I need to do is just have the peace of God. Rest in Him. How many times we read in the Bible, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord? It's hard to do. But we will learn to do it. I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're going to learn to wait on the Lord. I'm going to learn to wait on the Lord. When we don't want to, we're going to learn to. Jesus said, I read two of the occasions where He said to two different women, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. We need to read these things. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it rule. Not your anger. Not your, they can't do that to me. Not your, I'm better than they are. No, the peace of God. What He's done for you, what He's going to do for you, what He's promised you in every trial He'll bring you through it. Let it rule. Without this, we'll never be able to do what the Bible teaches us we should do as children of God. We'll be faithless and we'll be powerless. And the one thing I believe that we need, and that's why I preach this message, we need the peace of God. A lot of troubles all around us. A lot of trouble in our nation. We'll have fear and turmoil. You too. You know, when you, what happens when you get trouble, sometimes you start, I don't think I'm even saved. How can you have any peace if you don't go back to what the Bible tells you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be, no matter what happens, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and you can have peace. And then the trouble doesn't go away, but you go through it, and you bring glory to God. And isn't that what it's all about? God didn't save us to live like kings, never have any troubles, never have any trials. Look at the Old Testament saints. Is that the way they lived? Look at every one of their lives. Enoch was hated for what he preached. Noah was hated for what he did. Abraham was despised because he claimed to be the elect of God. And on and on and on you can go. David had more enemies. book of Psalms is full of how many enemies he had. But David also had something that we need. Chapter 4, it's chapter 8 rather, the fourth psalm, David said, I'll lay me down and rest. I'll tell you, when you know that you've trusted Christ, and you know you're still trusting him, and you still believe what he said, you can have peace. You can have the peace of God ruling in your heart. And it'll overrule anything that comes against you. It'll make it successful as far as doing what God would have you to do. It'll make you happy because you know you're doing what God would have you to do. It'll give you some victories that can settle you down. And the next time something slaps you up the side of the head, that's the way it usually does. It's unexpected. You know where to go. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's our message. Father, bless your word.